So, André de Ruyter was in Parliament this week. He had a lot of questions to answer and a lot to say about the state of Eskom. Of course, he's leaving the job in March, and one would assume, certainly one would hope, that the search for his replacement is well underway. But it's common knowledge that Eskom CEOs have come and gone, and in the time between those two events, many of them have had a pretty bruising time of it. So, how do you set about advertising this job, searching for people, and what qualities are you looking for? Advaita Naidu is the Africa MD at Jackhammer Recruitment Agency and joins us on 702 Drive. A very good afternoon to you.
Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, there must be jobs that are tough sells. Would you agree that this one is going to be particularly hard?
I think it's been called the most difficult job in South Africa, and it's only slightly an exaggeration.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Eskom came to you and said, okay, listen, you've got to find us someone, and you've got to find us someone good. What are you looking for, do you think, in this job, if you were to advise them? Are you looking for somebody, as some people have suggested, that must have an engineering background, or do you think that's perhaps been overstated? What are your views?
Yeah, look, I think if Eskom came to us and said, please, can you take on this mandate, what I as a search partner would do is start asking the questions. You know, to attract a halfway decent executive, the hiring committee needs to do a deep dive into all the reasons they haven't managed to hang on to their past dozen or so CEOs. Because it's not a string of CEOs that's been unsuccessful at this point. It's the context of in which they've operated. So, yes, it is going to be about the person and the skills that they bring, but the context in which they've been operated hasn't been empowering. So there needs to be this guarantee from the hiring committee that there is a buy-in for change. The new CEO will be capacitated to take the big steps needed to solve the crisis, because no CEO is walking into an environment where his or her hands are tied from day one.
I'm wondering, just as you were speaking, that when you, in a sense, acting as the broker of a conversation between a potential employer and people who might take the job, it's interesting to me. It must be quite nerve-wracking in a way, because I'm sure that people who are hiring do promise you the world. No, absolutely. Of course, we wouldn't dream of interfering. I suppose if you're going for someone at that level, they must do it eyes wide open. But do you have to kind of report back your skepticisms as well as what you've been told?
100%. I mean, and as client partners, is what we do. We ask for evidence that change is afoot, or we ask for some degree of self-awareness that this isn't just about appointing a CEO or an executive who can do the job, but about, you know, creating an environment that will cater to success. I think, you know, like you said, this role is a bit of a poison chalice. Any executive that takes on such a high exposure, high visibility role doesn't go into it knowing that success is, to put it bluntly, a challenging outcome to chase.
Yes.
Every day will be an uphill climb, but you know, people need to know that they're in an environment where they're not being set up for failure. And I don't think we can say that in the past that has been necessarily true.
When you meet with people, I mean, let's, you know, broaden it from Eskom, Ms. Naidu, and ask you this. I mean, there are other tough and rough jobs as well. I would have thought if you went into, for example, a company like Tongaat Hewlett or Steinhoff, where there's been so much trauma and travail as a result of financial malfeasance and fraud, there'd be plenty of sharks in that particular tank as well. How do you gauge a person's resilience if you don't know them? I'm sure on your books there are people you do know, but there must be some people who you're getting to know. How do you judge? You know, someone will say to you, I can deal with that, but there must be a few tells that tell you whether, you know, maybe not, or yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, look, we always look at the evidence-based history. You know, what have they accomplished in the past?
Right.
And I think in a lot of times, companies are not very intentional about the type of candidates that they're going after. I believe, you know, in the last Eskom round of recruitment for CEO, there was 142 candidates on the wrong list. Now, albeit that most of them declined the opportunity, but, you know, you look at a list of 142 and you wonder, was this a completely diverse pool, or did they have similar experience? Were the hiring requirements very mindful and intentionally set out. This is a large-scale turnaround job.
Yes.
You need somebody with that type of track record. Some people are maintenance executives, some are growth-focused, and you know, like you said, some people are specifically calling for an engineer, but really the hiring committee needs to be specific about what this role is, what
yes.
it requires, what the person should have accomplished in the past, and you start from there. And then, you know, the thing that you said about advertising, people who are good executives, they're not sitting around looking for on a LinkedIn job board, waiting to apply for something. You have to go after them with what we said, you know, the enticing sell. And you know, albeit that it is going to be a challenging sell in this particular instance, it's the intentionality that's going to make the difference.
Thank you so much, Advaita Naidu, Africa MD at Jackhammer. Just want to quickly, because I've been looking at who's been Eskom CEO since 1994, and the picture painted, and it's not incorrect, but it's not quite precise enough for my liking, is that there have been so many chief executives in a short space of time. But this is what actually has happened. After Dr. Ian McRae, the late Dr. McRae, was chief executive from 85 to 94, Alan Morgan was there from 94 to 2000. And then Thulani Qabashe had a long spell as well, 2000 to 2007. And then it all starts to accelerate. Jacob Morocha, 2007 to November 2009, less than 2 years. Mpho Makwana, less than 1 year. Brian Damas, a period of relative stability, almost reaching the four-year mark. Colin Machila, and I accept some of these people may have been acting, so that could have been built in, but nevertheless, Colin Machila was there for about 5 months. Tsediso Matuna did not make it past the first-year mark. Brian Molefe was there for a year and 6 months. Matsela Koko was there for a very brief spell. Again, it may have been acting. Johnny Dladla was there from June 2017 to October 2017. And so it goes on. Sean Moritz, I think he was a stand-in as well, 3 or 4 months. Phakamani Hadebe, he was there relatively for a long time, Jan 2018 to July 2019. Jabu Mabuza, August 2019 to January 2020. That didn't last long. Again, I think he might have been acting before he moved to the, because he was in the chair as well. And then Andre De Reiter has lasted for almost, well, has lasted for 3 years. Turbulent stuff. Who would you choose as the Eskom chief executive? Pick someone who you think would do a really good job. I do need to say the terms and conditions apply. You cannot nominate somebody you really can't stand, who you think sending to be CEO of Eskom would be fitting punishment for all the things they've done to make you dislike them so intensely. So serious suggestions, if you've got some. Eskom CEO, we're hiring. Help us. 20 minutes past 4:00.